Can President Obama reassure NATO allies about his successor's commitment to the most successful strategic alliance in world history?
In my conversation with the president-elect, he expressed a great interest in maintaining our core strategic relationships. And so one of the messages I will be able to deliver is his commitment to NATO and the transatlantic alliance. I think that's one of the most important functions I can serve at this stage during this trip.
On his final overseas trip, President Obama has been compelled to be the mediator between nervous world leaders and some of the ideas espoused by Donald Trump during the campaign, principally that NATO is obsolete or needs to pay more for the protection of the U.S. military. Some world leaders are coming directly to see the president-elect for themselves. Japan's Shinzo Abe, for instance, will meet Trump today. Kurt Volker worked as a member of the U.S. Senior Foreign Service for more than 23 years. From 2008 to 2009, he served as ambassador to NATO. He is now executive director of the McCain Institute for International Leadership, part of Arizona State University. He told Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick that Obama's reasoned assurance will only go so far with nervous world leaders.
Well, it is a great first step. But, of course, it's coming from Obama, who spoke with Donald Trump, as opposed to coming from Donald Trump himself. And I think they're going to want to hear that from Trump over time as well. I was in Germany for the election, and I could see firsthand the concern and reaction of a lot of people about what a Trump presidency could mean, given some of the things he said during the campaign. Need to renegotiate NATO, or would we come to an ally's defense if they haven't paid their bills? Wanting to effectively do another reset with Russia, this being after Russia has now invaded Ukraine, annexed Crimea, we put sanctions on Russia. So there's a lot of concern about, you know, what he's really going to do as president. I think the fact that President Obama did speak with Donald Trump and did get a green light to say, you know, don't worry, he's going to be supportive of NATO, that's a great step. But it will be when Trump is actually installed as president and does things as president of the United States, that's where people are going to be looking out for now.
Now, you've actually been sitting down with former ambassadors.
Sure. And yes, indeed, I saw five for lunch today. We had a discussion exactly about this sort of thing. And they're all trying to read the tea leaves. They're trying to figure out, what do these statements, past and current, mean? What do these possible personnel appointments mean? What would that mean for policy? How do we get our country on the radar so he's aware of what our concerns would be? And frankly, a lot of my advice to them is, don't make assumptions. In a political campaign, everybody tries to connect emotionally with voters, say what they need to say to get elected. And let's see what actual policy and actual decisions are. And we're only a week after the election. Mostly we don't know very much. So let's not jump to conclusions and react to our own jumping to conclusions. Let's actually take a little time and see what happens.
Do they have concerns about the overall depth of experience at the top of the White House? Donald Trump has never governed before. The two top people he's named, Reince Priebus and Steve Bannon, have never governed before. Names are getting thrown around for Secretary of State and other positions. Have people expressed a concern to you about maybe a lack of a long view here?
I think the concern that you hear is not knowing who is going to be showing up in administration. They certainly want people who have experience, and most importantly, they want people who they have relationships with, that they feel like they can talk to someone. At this stage, as you said, the only people who have been officially named are Bannon and Reince Priebus, and they don't know them. And I'll tell you, you know, one ambassador said that he managed to get a phone call for his prime minister with President-elect Trump, and the way he was able to do it was through the prime minister and Donald Trump having a mutual friend in business. And that business person was able to make the connection, because the mechanisms of using a transition structure to connect to the president-elect are still very, very rickety right now. It's not well established.
There have been concerns all along in the campaign about Donald Trump's attitude towards Russia, mm-hmm. his attitude toward Vladimir Putin, and likewise. Now that he will be president, what are you hearing in terms of NATO allies' concerns about whether President Trump, when he is president, could try to warm to Russia, get closer to Russia, reset with Russia?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things there. One of them is they've seen this before. President Bush comes in and says he looked into Putin's eyes and he saw his soul. President Obama comes in, does a reset with Russia. So it's not unexpected that a new U.S. president will also try to strike up a good relationship with Russia and believes that he has some kind of personal skills that will make this more successful than his predecessor. That's exactly what every other president has done. They're kind of expecting that. There are a few unique things. The Baltic states are particularly interested in whether the U.S. will continue with the deployment of forces in the Baltic states, these small, battalions in each of the three countries, and the exercise schedule and training schedule, and deter Russia from any adventurism. They want to just see that continue. They're concerned that if there's an effort to do deal-making with Putin, well, what's the deal exactly? What are we giving up in order to get Putin to be satisfied? Is it part of Ukraine? Is it more territory? Is it promising not to do things in the future? Is it ending these deployments? Anything about NATO? They just don't know because there isn't anything to know. And so that's where their anxiety comes from. Most diplomats hate uncertainty. That they can do anything. They can advise their governments. They can organize strategies. They can communicate. They can develop policies. They can do anything, provided they know what they're dealing with. And when they don't know, they feel completely at sea as to what do I do? What is my job? What is my role? How does this affect my country? They feel completely at sea. So what they want to hear is that there's a strong commitment of this incoming administration to a strong NATO and to deter any kind of Russian adventurism in Europe. And what we have now, as you described, is a presidential transition that has begun and a victorious candidate from the election that is unlike anything anyone has ever seen. So there is that uncertainty, and people are desperately trying to figure out how to navigate it.
That's Ambassador Kurt Volker, former U.S. Permanent Representative to NATO, speaking with Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.